Hello, Dream Team. Welcome along to How Rugby Made Me, brought to you by British Airways. My name is Alex Payne. And today we're in North London, where I've come to find an old 2003 teammate of Tins. 20 years on, this man has a 20-year-old son who is now following in his footsteps in that famous England number 9 jersey. And today we're at Barnet Elizabethans, which is the club where Kieran Bracken first introduced his son Charlie to the game of rugby. Charlie's now in the senior Saracens squad. He's an England under 20s player, and rugby is very much in the family's blood. Literally for Charlie, one of the first things he ever did was to lift the Webb Ellis Cup. And I'm not even joking. Let's go and find these two. Come on. Team Bracken. Good morning. It's the Le Grand Fromage.
How are you doing?
Nice to see you.
And
the Petit Fromage. How are you, Charlie? Lovely to see you. Thank you for having us. So the green grass of Barnet.
Barnet Elizabethans, fantastic club.
Quite a vista,
been here a long
it?
Time, haven't we?
Very long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice of you to have us down today. First things first, obviously you're killing it at the moment, growing into things with Saracens. What does it mean to you when you come back to a place like this?
I mean, loads of memories I've had here. I think, to be fair, me and my brothers, we come here all the time, you know, at the weekends, we pass a ball and kick a ball down here. So, you know, it's quite a familiar place, but also, yeah, a lot of special memories down here. Got a lot of friends that I've played with through the years at Barnet, and, you know, a lot of memories of great fun, and obviously the highs and lows of rugby all start kind of down here. But yeah, it's a very special place for me.
He's better than you at the media. That's a bad knee.
I don't know about that. No, listen, this has been great. I mean, people think that I've got three boys. We'll get to it later, but they always ask who's the best, right? Well, I'm not going to tell you who's the best. But
we'll
it's kind of
later.
Weird. So I first took Charlie to Saracens, actually, my club, which is up in Bramley Road. And I think he was 5 or 6, and it was really cold. And he ran out and he goes, "Dad, I don't want to play. And I was like, "I don't care, don't worry." But a year later, his friends with Dad came down here. So I was like, "Oh, lovely club." So we came down here. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's funny where they are now and where we started. When I brought them down, I didn't sort of intend, right, I'm going to turn them into professional rugby players. Yeah. I wanted them to experience what I experienced. I was at Waterloo Rugby Club. It was just a phenomenal time. Probably the best time of my life. Though, you know, really? No pressures, travelling and, you know, with your comrades. And I just had such a great time. And I wanted my kids to experience that bond, experience the family atmosphere, experience the highs, the lows, the winning, the travelling, the parents, the training, the fun, and that's what rugby gave me. And so I never really thought, right, get them down there, I'm going to get them training, I'm going to get them do this, and they're going to do that. But we did actually a lot of extras to make them good, which means it's helped them on their way.
Yeah. We'll come on to all that, because what you said there, I think, is really interesting about the sense of belonging that you get from a club like this. But when you come back here now, I mean, you've touched on some of the memories and that kind of thing, but the smells and the sights and the sounds, has it changed much, or is it absolutely as it was on day one?
I think it's changed a bit, because I remember just back in the day, there's some things that were really kind of a part of that, you know, under six, under seven rugby. I remember having like hot dogs after the game, and just, I remember all the award ceremonies we've had, but that's still in the back of my mind. But now when I watch it, I come down, I watch some of the first team games here, because I've got a couple of mates that actually still play at Barnet.
Brilliant.
So it's nice to watch them, but it brings back a lot of memories. But to be fair, the club's not really changed too much. So yeah, it always brings back nice memories when I come down here.
Well, they have got planning. A very nice donor who died recently left a lot of money. And amazingly, which is fantastic, is they're going to basically build a new clubhouse.
Oh, brilliant.
Know? And I think they've got planning with Barnet Council. And this is great for rugby, girls, boys, other sports as well. So it will be a lot nicer than when you started out here. But this is all going to be revamped. It's going to be amazing. But I kind of quite like the sort of
what it is.
I mean, they've got, I think they've still got the baths in there. I mean, we used to have the bath, so it's like, you know, you'd get in there and it would be full of mud, and that's where you'd wash, you know, and they've still got
the
that.
Wallow.
I think it's probably illegal now to have them, but I don't think people use them now. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is what people remember, I remember, and a lot of clubhouses are like this.
Yeah.
And this is how it starts.
And where's home for you? Are you around the corner, therefore you could just drive the boys down and say, there's a ball, I'll come pick you up in 45 minutes?
Yeah, no, round the corner, 2-minute drive, 5-minute walk, when they've got their, you know, the balls and they want to lift. So we're always here training, doing all the extras, because they wanted to do the extra mile and be better players. So a lot of time on our own on these pitches, you know.
Did you want to confirm that? It was you that wanted to do the extras, it wasn't Dad?
I'd say a bit of both. No, it was mainly me.
Need a kick every so often.
It was quite funny, so Dad used to always take us down here. He'd always used to drive us down here with a load of balls. He'd come, we'd be in our shorts and T-shirt, and he'd be kind of fully stacked with coats, gloves, and just everything against the weather. But to be fair, now I can drive, so I can drive me and my brothers down here. He doesn't need to be here as much, but no, it's still good to have him on the side of the pitch shouting instructions at me.
And what was it like for you becoming a part of a club like this, having played at the highest level and won a World Cup and been a Lion and obviously played for the Galacticos or Saracens back in the day? Did it take a bit of adjustment, or was it just like coming out to an old pair of boots?
I think what I did find hard is when I started coaching the mini rugby. It was funny because, you know, oh, we've got to pick this player, we've got to do that. And I was all about winning. After a while, I was like, hey, let's just relax a little bit. But I think there's a bit of pressure on my boys being in the team, obviously with their dad, you know, play for England and whatever. And I suppose they were like, you know, where's your boy? Which one's your boy? Is he any good? It was a bit like that. And also, obviously, on the side of a pitch, parents would go, I know you. And then, the team's not that good, is it? So people got used to me down here. And it was a great club.
Did you feel, as a young kid, putting on your boots for the first few times, that my dad has been here, done it, and there are a lot of people watching? Or were you just rolling around in the mud and that was part of it?
To be fair, I think it was all kind of part of it. I would always look over my shoulder to see him on the touchline and be like, right, I've got to have a good game, he's watching. But no, I didn't really feel the pressure when I was that young. I was just enjoying my rugby, really. And yeah, it was nice to have him on the sideline and my brothers and my mum and the rest of the family just kind of watching. It was good to try and make him proud rather than kind of feeling that pressure. When
I think the pressure came later, didn't it?
Yeah,
when
you
sort of get to representative stuff and it goes for trials and then it becomes more pressurised for them.
What role has your mum played in all this? Is she the sort of the calming one, or is she wanted as much as he did?
Well, no, I think she's probably the calming one, kind of brings me back to earth, and she's been so helpful. Obviously, she's a personal trainer as well, so I'm getting both the skills side from my dad and the S&C from my mum. But she's also like a great cook, and oh my god, at the moment when she's got three rugby boys and him, she's having to cook for like crazy amounts of chicken and rice. So she's been really helpful, and over the years it's been great to have her.
And we've got the gym at home. I mean, my wife's a personal trainer, and the handy thing for them is they get programs from Saracens even at an early age, at like 13, 14, so they're starting to do their programs, and they're at home in the evenings, and it's great. It's kind of like a performance institution at home, isn't it? Because I can do all the skills, and but it's not really there's no pressure from us to say, oh, you must be this, you must be that. It has to come from them, and it's not us sort of demanding, well, you have to do this and have to do that.
You're looking pretty well yourself, actually, looking quite lithe. And is he still in there showing you how it should be done and lifting the bigger weights?
Well,
let it go?
He's in the gym quite a lot. He's doing his bench press a lot and his chin ups. For example, in the evenings when I'm there stretching, and then he's doing his bench press. But no, it's good to. I think we're close strength wise. Just a bit.
Are you heavier than me?
Not heavier, but stronger.
What are you? 88?
I think I'm like 82. You're still bit heavier.
There's some
than
things
me.
I can beat them in. But I reckon I can reverse pass longer than you.
Maybe.
Still got it. And when you come back down here, Charlie, you mentioned you've still got mates playing down here. Tell me a little bit about the friendships and the relationships that have come through from having been a part of this club, and I suppose how happy they are for what you're doing now and how much you enjoy coming back.
Definitely. I think a lot of the boys that played here were quite local, so I've made a lot of friends who I can still really meet up with at the moment. I've got a couple of mates who live across the road from me who I'm still friends with, and yeah, I think rugby's really, really bonded us. We still go to the pub. It's really nice to have the friendships and develop them out of school at a place like this.
My 12-year-old plays at Richmond, and we went and did the Richmond Heavies Walk on Saturday, actually, which is a little bit of a charitable fundraiser. And I had a very long chat with a guy called Neil, who runs that age group. And he said, it's not just about the game and learning to get up every Sunday and get into the mud and the wet and looking after those around you. It is that sense of belonging. They all got their club ties last weekend, actually. And he said it's so important for kids of that age to have something that isn't just school and the day-to-day. You feel a part of something that is bigger than you. It's got a history. You can come at any point. You'll always be welcome, etc. You've got big ambitions. You've got great potential. You've got a lot to do in your career. But is there a part of you that will always just have a little love for this place? And
definitely, of course. I think touching on your part of belonging, I remember we had a tour to France, and we basically...
Are we allowed to talk about that, or is that... you're snorting, so there's obviously...
Basically, we had this brand new kit, like, really cool designed, like, kit with our names on the back of it, and it was just, like, having that kit and belonging to that club atmosphere that we could all buy into was lovely.
Is there a day in these colours that you remember and will remember forever? You mentioned the tour, etc. Is there a big rivalry, or is there a day, a game... tournament.
I think, yeah, the tournaments were the main thing that I kind of remember, just having that, trying to win each and every game, progressing through each stage of the tournament.
They kind of stopped the old, which I found quite hard. I don't know whether you've heard about this, but they are if you stopped having a cup for the champion, so there was no winner.
You're right. Yeah, I can see you struggling with that.
Oh, I
can see
that with really great. So a lot of competitions now, they all play, and then they kind of, everyone kind of knows one team sort of beat everyone, and they kind of know that they won, and they don't want little Billy to think they're a failure because they lost. But I disagreed with that massively, and there's still a debate about it, but I disagreed it because I want my kids to lose and feel they've lost.
I totally agree.
You know, I want them to go to a tournament and someone else hold a cup and go, I want that next year. So maybe I'm a bit of, I don't know, prehistoric, I don't know, but I still love the idea of losing because they get better.
I think a lot of people would fall in behind you on
right,
that.
Okay.
Do you remember the car journeys home from tournaments with
awful.
Cut knees and
awful.
Having lost and having covered lost. In mud and what you do it. As a dad and what was he like having gone from the passenger seat and through to now having to take you home? Was he always quite sympathetic and
I think yeah he was again? I think even on the touchline he was quite a conservative touchline dad, like it wasn't too loud, which I was very thankful for because you had some parents screaming at the top of their lungs. But then in the car journeys home, no, he was always very supportive and obviously critical if I was like playing an awful game. But I think I just remember a lot of the times putting bin bags on the seats in the car so that we wouldn't get the seats muddy. Yeah. But
what are you like on the side of
the
pitch?
I put my kids in bin bags and tie them to stick on the bin bags. I try very hard to keep well. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about anyway, but I try very hard to let. My son does not want me commenting or...
No.
Occasionally, you've got to pick him up and say, right, get back in there. But otherwise, I'll leave it to people far better, far more patient and far nicer than I am. But, you know, that's part of it, I suppose. It's so nice to be here and you get a real sense of the club. But the real fabric of any rugby club tends to come from how good the cup of coffee is. Shall we head inside and we can pour one of those?
Let's try it.
Thank you for now. Let's wander on in. Well done, chaps. You lead the way, Charlie. One of the great things about walking into a club is instantly you can tell it's a good place when you've got the faint smell of beer, which has just obviously been cleaned up for this morning. Have you had some quite good nights, days, afternoons in here, just sort of putting the world to rights?
To be fair, not really. I mean, I was at this club till I was, I'd say, about 13, 14 when the Saracen stuff started to take off and the academy starts. So I wasn't here when it got to the older phase of drinking in here, but I'd love to, you know, come back when there's a first team game on and have a couple of beers with my mates. But I remember seeing my mate up here having to chug a pint on a chair for getting man of the match or something. So I haven't here, but I would like to. Yeah.
Time perhaps will be kind in that regard. The other thing that you always know about a rugby club is how proud they are of former players and guests that they've had. And interestingly, you've got the great Martin Johnson with a signed shirt, which brings us nicely onto events of 20 years ago. Does it feel like 20 years ago or does it feel like yesterday?
Oh, it feels. I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? We're watching rugby at the moment. But yeah, 20 years and you see all the guys. We all meet each other every now and again, pop up at Twickenham. And we all knew that 20 years was coming up. And it's great to look back, isn't it? I mean, it would have been nice if England won it, I guess.
Since,
because then we could stop telling the same old story. So people must be getting so bored of the stories about winning and beating Australia. So it's 20 years and you were born that same year. We've got a lovely picture of
you. We need to have a look at this because you've brought it along. So dig that out. So, have you ever watched the game? Well, Kieran's finding that. Have you sat down on the cinema screen with Dad and popcorn for the family and let me talk you through the great journey or not?
It's great to watch back, but I haven't actually sat down and watched the full thing, just snippets.
The hero against the box, wasn't it? Saved the tournament.
Well,
playing off your sick bed.
Do you know what's really weird is every now and again, those matches are shown, okay, randomly. And that was shown, I'd say, 3 months ago. And I get this text from Clive Woodward. He texts me, he goes, oh, Kieran, I've just watched you against South Africa. He said, that's the best game I've ever seen you play. I said, oh, that's really kind of you, Clive. But you know, you dropped me for the next game. And then you didn't start me. After that, he was like, oh, sorry. I said, cheers. I said, 20 years too late. So that was quite funny.
Let's have a look at the photo. So this
is,
where is this taken?
Well, I can't remember. I think we're at Twickenham.
Yeah.
So there he is. He was born in December. And I guess... You're actually holding the World Cup there, aren't you?
Are you allowed to do that if you haven't won it?
Yeah,
maybe in time to come.
So there he is. Yeah, he's kind of looking, his fingers are on it. He's asleep, I think.
Amazing. God, so what a year that was for you. So when were you born?
December the 9th.
God almighty, so that was 2 weeks after the final.
2 weeks, and the final was my birthday. And I never thought that any of my kids would experience what I've experienced as in playing at the highest level. And it's been really weird, and it's been fantastic. You know, you played in the World Championships just recently, and going for the first time to watch him play for England, because he didn't do the route where he was like smashing it at academy level and then playing for England. He sort of got injured, and then he's clawed his way in, and then he got a chance and did well, and then he went played for the 19s and 20s. But going to watch him play for England and then doing the anthems is really weird, because suddenly it comes on, and it just brought everything back for what I went through. And I'm watching him, and the thing that I laugh every time is I cannot say "God save our gracious King" because in my sort of natural language, it's the Queen.
Yeah.
I can't. I always say Queen. And it's really weird for me to say King. But watching him standing there wearing the rose and then nervous for him, excited for him, I feel really kind of quite blessed. I know there's a lot of rugby player dads who are getting to watch their kids play. You know, you've got Entomac, you've got like Pinot.
Yeah.
So I played with his dad, Alan Pinot, played against Entomac. And then you see Paul Grayson and his kids are doing really well. And, you know, it's hard for them because they're always kind of compared. Although Pinot's probably better than his dad, isn't he?
Yeah, so, he probably is, actually.
So for me, I can't think of anything more of a privilege to go and watch your son play for your country. It's fantastic.
We were touching on you as touchline dad at 7, 8, 9. What do you like as kids starting to represent their country? Are you proud, nervous, quiet?
Very nervous, because I just want them to express themselves and do their best and obviously have a good game. But I'm kind of like a bit more of a mentor than just, it's just dad on the side of the pitch. Yeah. I mean, I think I said, I've kind of every now and then sent him like little notes about what to look for, the cues and stuff like that in the game, and what you're good at, and try and do this, and things you're not good at, you make sure you do this and make sure you're organized. So I'm kind of doing stuff that I know would be helpful for him to play better. But I think the best part of my relationship with him is more about managing his sort of self-appreciation or self-worth of how they play in a game. So every kid, and you'll have it with your kid, they'll come off and go, "Dad, did I play well?"
Yeah.
And then you'll go, "I don't know what you're like." You'd be like, "Yes, you did this, you did that, but you could have done that. I don't know what you like." Some people are very, some dads are
always
like,
always very proud.
Some people
always
are very proud. You're terrible. Some people are, but I think with Charlie and the other two, if they've sort of, I don't know, thrown an inset pass, they say, "I'm terrible.
Yeah.
They're going to drop me. This is awful." You know, and then I sort of go, "Okay, so you had one moment, which was bad. Let's look at all the other moments." And then when they look at the other moments, they go, "Oh, yeah, I scored a try, I set that up, I did that kick, we did that, I did this, we did that. Or maybe the intercept wasn't that bad." And then they kind of appreciate that actually people who are playing at the highest level, they get there, they only look out for the bad things of what they've done.
Yeah.
And actually as a dad, I'm like, "Okay, well, let's look at all the other stuff." And the other thing is, these kids, when they play at the high level, they think that all the crowd and all the coaches are just watching them and just looking at your mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's loads of mistakes happening everywhere. So I'm like, just think about it. It's not just about you. It's actually a collective team. And I think it's more making sure that they are on the right path. You know, you've had it tough over the last month. He's playing in Ampthill and it's Championship rugby and he's playing in the Prem Cup and it's tough because they're playing against Premiership teams. And I'm like, it's going to be tough. You're going to find it hard. It's not going to be easy. You're just out of school last year. You're not going to get there. You've got to go like this through all of these different levels to get there. You've got to fail, you've got to play badly, you've got to learn how to, you know, do this, you've got to manage your body, you've got to get fitter, you've got to get your skills better, you've got to do all this stuff. And by the way, if you do a bad pass, well, it's not the end of the world. And I never had that. My dad was never like managing or mentoring me like that. So I wish I had that. And I think that's probably where my biggest advantage will be for them.
Some very wise words. Would you have been at Saracens with Michael Leiner?
Yeah.
I remember back in the glory days, but I always remember Michael saying that he used to offer to coach Lewis, his son and Tom, who's now down in Queensland, "If I can help you with kicking, let's get the part, let's do it." And they was like, not interested.
Wow.
And then they went, I think Lewis went into the Quinns Academy and came in one day and just said, "Nick Evans is so good at teaching." And Michael was like spluttering into his, as one of the greatest exponents of ever kicking the ball. The key question is, do you listen? When you get the message pre-game saying, "Look for this, this, this," do the blue ticks come on before the game or do they come on after the game?
No, definitely. I do definitely look at his message before. Sometimes I'm a bit too focused on the game to really answer too much. I just put a thumbs up or a thanks. But no, I definitely do take it in and I definitely do listen because obviously he's had so much experience and to learn from that is great. And a lot of the time he's kind of filling me with confidence and what he's sending me before game. It's not like kind of, make sure you don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's like, just, express yourself, look out for these opportunities. Like, for example, I remember him sending me texts before some of my games for the under-20s, just being like, look, you've played so well so far, just keep doing what you're doing and look up for like 50-22s and tap and goes and just be brave and enjoy yourself. Yeah, rather than being like, make sure you get this right and that right.
I saw a text that I sent to you before, which was quite interesting. And the first thing I say on it is expect mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're sort of
that's
like
a life lesson rather than just a rugby lesson.
Because the thing is, and where the difference is with Charlie and say Jack, my middle boy and the youngest one, is that Jack's a fullback and Charlie's a scrum half. And when you're a scrum half for a flight, you touch the ball more than anyone else, right? Okay, so you're involved more than anyone else. And so let's say you have 150 involvements, whereas you could be a winger and have three.
Yeah.
But if you've got 150 involvements, you are never going to have 150 perfect involvements. You're going to have 5% of them are going to be bad.
Yep.
When you have that many interactions in the game, it's about managing your expectations that you're never going to be perfect. So that's what they've got to learn. And they're slowly building resilience for when it goes wrong as well, I think.
Tell me about the summer. And the pride and the under-20s and the journey that was for you. Did that feel quite a big step up?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I started my England journey quite late compared to most people. I remember when I was in the Sarries Academy at kind of 16, 17, 18, a lot of the boys were starting to do the England stuff. And I had COVID at the time, so I wasn't able to really kind of push on into that England age group. But I played one game for the England 18s against Wales, had a good game and then went into the 19s from that and then played well in that and then into the 20s and then played the Six Nations and then went into the under-20s championship. And that was in South Africa and that was great experience. I mean, very proud and honoured to play for my country. And it was a great experience staying in Cape Town and obviously, we had quite a few games in a four-week period. So it was making sure like you're managing your body and also you're getting your prep right and you're training well and then going into the game and playing as best as you can. But yeah, as my dad said, kind of singing the anthem, that's always something special. And
no problems with God Save the King?
No, well, I think in my first game, I probably did say Queen. Yeah. But apart from that, yeah, I mean, also, it was all televised as well. So you've all got those cameras there. And that was something new, having kind of not really played with a TMO before, which is actually something that was quite new because I remember a lot of the times I would used to run like a support line, for example, when the ref wouldn't see me, maybe catching a few meters offside. But then when they bring it back up on the TMO, it's like it really zooms in and it just shows what the like higher levels of rugby are about. You've got to be on your game and be very disciplined. So, yeah.
Do you find when playing at that level and people, you're suddenly getting messages from people you haven't seen for 5, 6, 7 years and old friends who used to sit at the back of the class and like, Christ, did you get a bit of that?
I did get a bit of that when I first started out, but also what was quite nice to get messages from people you've never met before, who've watched your games.
You're more interested in getting Instagram followers. Yeah. Right?
Is that what it is? Oh, yeah, you're buying those now when you're showing the seat.
I'm on Twitter. He uses Instagram and he's like, oh, Dad, I've got like 3,000 now. And I think with the World Cup, Sarries, and you've got your first game for Sarries, didn't you, at the end of the year, which was great. And it was really weird. He comes in and he goes, Dad, look at this. And he shows me a Premiership medal. And I said, Charlie, you played for like 8 minutes against Bath, remember, at the end of the season?
Yeah.
And they had a few young players come on and they came on. How did you get a medal? He said, well, they just gave it out to like all of the academy players who helped them get there and trained and whatever. And I was like,
You haven't got one of those, have you?
I was so jealous. I was looking at it. I was like, that is just, I mean, I always wanted one of those. And he's got one, but he hasn't got one because it's not real, is it? It's not yours.
Well, you say that. Like, yeah,
it's not really.
You can't take it away.
Yeah, exactly. You play with 5 minutes from the bench in a dead rubber game against Bath. But at least he came on. Listen, well done. Well done.
Well done. Good on you, sir. From the Barretts in New Zealand. and three boys playing for the All Blacks to the Brackens in Barnet.
Oh, God.
Three for England. No pressure.
No pressure. Although, I think Aidy's back there. He's put a bet on, hasn't he? I think it's something like 25,000 to one, is it?
You're kidding.
Yeah, for them all to be on the pitch. Aidy, have they all got to be on the pitch?
How much you put on?
Oh, 100 quid on.
Bloody hell. All around his backstage.
What's the odds?
Thousands and thousands to one.
Thousands and thousands right. to one. Where is the stub?
It's in my bedroom at home.
You're joking. Is it really?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with the money?
That's my early retirement fund.
Very good. No pressure, Team Bracken.
Do you know what? I mean, that's all lovely. And the Barrett brothers, they're amazing. I'm very lucky, got three talented boys. Success isn't necessarily playing for Saracens. It's being the best you can be with the talent you've got. And he's one of those players who's worked really hard on his game. And if it comes through, it's great. Sport is very cruel. You know, you're doing really well. You're in and next minute your shoulder's gone and you're out. And so for all of them, it's the same. It's to be the best that they can be. And you've got Jack. It's quite interesting because I find it hard to mentor Jack because Jack's playing, he played wing for England and fullback.
Yeah.
I found it really hard to watch his game and know what he should be doing. Yeah. So luckily I got a hold of Matt Banahan.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay.
And I said, would you mind just looking at some of these games he's playing in South Africa? And he was like, anyway, within about, I don't know, 24 hours, he'd cut and edited like loads of stuff and went, you need to do this, you need to do that, you got the ball in the wrong hand, you've done that, make sure you go on the outside, don't do this, come inside, da, da, da. And I'm reading this going, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's funny that I'm not a master of all things in rugby, to have someone like Matt Banahan who's played for England and played on the wing and looks at Jack and gone bang, 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 and he's like, Dad, this is amazing. So I'm not the be all and end all, but I can help, but he's not in my position. And then Lockie's probably going to be a 10, so I'll have to phone Johnny and say, Johnny, can you help with this? It might be a centre. I'll be like, Tyndall, look, he's not going to have a nose like yours. But you know, I don't think it's realistic for the kids. It's nice to go, right, I want to play for England. I think it's realistic to go, right, I want to be a professional rugby player at the highest I can be. And if all of that comes with it, that's great.
Yeah. Never going to have a prop, were you? Never going to have a prop. Exactly. No. Yeah. The other thing that we've got to talk about is life after rugby. And you look at that 2003 crew, and obviously, you know, Martin Johnson has remained the talisman, and Lawrence has gone into the media, yeah. And Tins has gone into the royal family, and Ben Kay's obviously doing what he does on television as well. And you went into ice skating, which wasn't a natural path necessarily.
That was
tell us a little bit about that and the spandex. You had your own ice rink.
I started to really enjoy it. And anyway, I took to it. I loved it. And ended up touring the country. But a year into it, I'm touring the country with Holiday and I, so they're paying me to go around and do this skating. And it was weird, because when I retired at Sarries, I was at Watford playing against Leicester, last game, 18,000 people. Within 3 months, I was at the NEC in front of 20,000 people skating. So I never had this drop-off of the adoration.
You went the other way.
Yeah, I was like, suddenly I was skating, it was amazing, getting paid well. Eddie Jones phones me up. And he's coaching Saracens. He goes, here you go, mate. I was like, yeah, I'm good. And he went, mate, we needed to come back. And I was like, not a great accent, by the way.
No, I think that's very good, actually.
I was like, Eddie, there's absolutely no way I'm swapping what I'm doing now to go and play rugby. He's like, and anyway, Justin Marshall then signed. But years later, I do regret, I would have liked that to have gone back and played maybe another year.
Would you have played with the glitter on the cheeks?
Can you imagine?
Running around in spandex.
My lycra. Yeah. No, because you shave your chest and your legs and everything. I look really good. Can you imagine the changing room? Can you just imagine?
I can. I can imagine how well Jono would have taken to that.
I've got a fake tan and I've got, yeah. But yeah, listen. People do different things in life. I loved it. It was great while it lasted.
So that is the question, really. I mean, obviously, you were very young. We've seen the photo already of you in the Webb Ellis Cup, but have you watched the great footage of Lions tours and Saracens victories and Grand Slams, etc.? Or do you remember him going around in circles on his own ice rink, hoisting up Coronation Street stars and that sort of thing?
To be fair, I think I remember the ice skating more clearly just because it was more recent. But then I also do remember the rugby, and I remember coming on the pitch after games with him and things like that. So, yeah.
Let's finish on the rugby. And definitely, you need to stick to the rugby. You've got bigger cards to play for now. But just, I suppose, as a final question, it's been really nice to catch up with both of you, to reflect on an extraordinary career, to almost join you at the start of what's going to hopefully be a very exciting one. How proud are you? I know of all three, but of what this young man is doing.
Really proud. Really proud. Charlie's had to work hard to get there, probably more than anyone else that I know, and being really willing to put the work in, you know, on his own back, just training really, really hard. Obviously, representing England is very proud. You watch it, it's great. For him to know all the work that he's done, for him to achieve that, fills me with so much pride. You know, I don't look at it and go, he's got to be better than me, he's got to get more caps than me, or he's got to have a longer career and at Saracens than me. It's not about that. It's just about his journey. It's got nothing to do with me. And I know it's kind of nice having the father-son thing, but the reality is I'm just so proud of what he's doing now and where he's going. And I'm looking forward to being on the touchline, watching lots of games.
Which is brilliant. And vice versa. The old boy's still a hero, obviously, but, you know, great to have his help, his support.
And yeah, of course.
Just trying to live up to it a bit.
Yeah, of course. I'm incredibly proud of him as well, of all his achievements. And yeah, it's great to have him as a mentor on the sideline. I mean, he's been my coach for so long, not just in the back garden and, you know, doing skills at the weekend, but he was my school coach for a year. So it's been great to have him really in my corner, and obviously he's provided me with lots of inspiration, motivation, but also he's really helped me grow as a rugby player, and he's taught me a lot of things. So very grateful to him as that.
I can already see the cutaway.
Yeah.
It's quite emotional. I can already see the cutaway at Twickenham as you run out in a few years' time. Listen, it's been so nice to catch up with you both. Thank you very much for having us to your old club. Good luck with all that's to come.
Thank you,
Charlie.
Very much.
Great fun.
Cheers.
Kieran.
Thank you.
Pleasure
Cheers.
As always. Thank you, mate.
Brought to you by British Airways, bringing original people, places and cultures together for more than 100 years.